session number 27045, Reel 2.
Mr. Jacobs, Reel 2. Now, what about rationing? Tell me about that.
Oh, it was a lot of hardship, wasn't it, really? But you got used to it. I mean, we never lived well anyway before the war. I mean, if you're working class family, four of you, you live, you know. But I think it did us a favour because brown bread's better than white. And we lived on margarine before the war, so butter didn't bother us. Before the war, we used to have butter once a week. Mummy used to call it best butter. And funny enough, you're talking about prices. I told you that my mother fetched her a sup to look after each other. My sister was working, and my mother in hospital. My dad was up in London. So it left me to get the other two off to school, and us doing the shopping. And I used to go to Williamsburg. They'd tell me what to get. And I can remember, I must have been about 12 and a half. Let's go down there and get the shopping. And I can remember the prices. £2 of Upton Farm plum jam, threepence. Three diamonds tin of pink salmon, tall one, fourpence halfpenny. Tea, penny farthing a quarter. Sugar, about the same. At least about a pound and a 3 ounces a bag. And my mother used to buy margarine, tablecloth margarine, and Redding's tea. Both gave coupons. And for tablecloth margarine, after you collect 36 coupons, you used to get a damask tablecloth. And Redding's tea, you used to get cups and saucers. Funny enough, my aunt just round the corner there, she recently died, she was 90-odd. She had a full set of that, was still going strong when she died. As soon as you see the cups, you know where they come. Bone china cups, you know, nice pattern, mainly yellow and brown with floral pattern on. But you knew exactly where they come from. And she kept them all those years. But then she was like that old little. She never threw anything out.
What about clothes rationing?
Oh, no, that was terrible. I mean, you had one on and one off, that's all you could do. And shoes was my big trouble.
Why?
Well, they weren't very durable, and the way you do your running about, and repairs were cheap, and the cheap barter shoes in those days, they were cheap, but they wouldn't repair because they had nobody thing before. So if you want a pair of shoes, so you want to keep them going. So most fathers in those days used to go down and every family had a foot, 3 feet foot, mend your own boots, you know. And my dad weren't very good at it. In fact, when I got to a little bit later, I used to have a go. I think I was better than him at it. But I never got round to sewing them like some people could. But always pick a packet of Blakeys and stick them in there. We was never allowed to have shoes.
What boots. Are Blakeys? Sorry.
Blakeys, there's studs, metal studs you put on your boots, like hobnail boots. You've got like an half melon for the heel, and then these other ones round the sole. So when you walk down, it's like with army boots on.
Now, what did you do for sort of recreations? I mean, you were a young lad, you're rising, 14, 15, 16 now. What did you do?
Got pictures for sixpence.
What were your favourite types of film at the time?
Well, you got a double feature, a newsreel, and a newsreel, a short, Three Stooges or something like that. And if you went to a proper place, you get the organ as well. But if you paid sixpence, you sat right in the front, you'd come out with a steaming headache. But if you played your cards right, you'd go in there and bloody will, you know, get back in the dodge seat when nobody's looking. But Some were sixpence and some were ninepence. I think the Odeon was ninepence. But some groups were only sixpence. Good value for money. And you can see some good films and all. Still more on television now.
Would you go often a week? I mean, once a week? Or what was it?
A couple of times a week, I suppose. I belonged to a church club.
What did that offer?
Church club? Well, they had a snooker table up there. And we... actually, the vicar was named Bryant. His father was Lord Bryant. And he was, his father was Lord Bryant. But he was dead. And Lady Bryant was his mother. And according to what I heard, he was a padre at Harrow Public School. And we played them football once. All working class boys from that. But we went over there. I always remember that. We went in there and they went in their bloody dorms. I think we played in them just with an old pair of shorts and jersey. But they come out with all their gear and their caps on. But of proper gents. And we beat them and they cheered us off the pitch. And we were fed, tea and sandwiches and stuff in their big dining room with all the names up the wall. And nice blokes. Thought they were, all right, no snobbery attached to them. And, but Lady Bryant, she was a funny old dear. Because we started a dramatic society. And... we did Androcles and the Lion by George Bernard Shaw. And, but then we did that one, it went all down the line. I remember the Virgin, Virgin Hunt, yes. The Hunt, the assistant vicar there. He's a bloke of 19, 20. I don't know why he weren't in the army, but he wasn't. And he played the lion because he was big. And Mrs. Daniels made this lion kit. And I don't know if you know the story, but he got a thorn in his foot. He's dancing around. It's only a small stage. And poor old Reverend Hunt fell off the stage. And by the time we got to pick him up, he went all sweating inside that lion suit. Cool, he went all having a swear. Yeah, he said, we really did. Anyway, she got a bit ambitious after that. And she started doing, it's going to do Cinderella in rhyme. And we had to learn it as she was bloody, learn it, but rehearse it while she was bloody writing it. It was panic stations, but their casting was completely bloody wrong. Because they had my mate Ernie Dimond. And he wasn't exactly good looking, because his dad looked like he was an officer in the First World War. But his mum used to call herself a comedian. She used to do a bit of amateur dramatics. It was nothing to go round her house and she'd be dressed as Robin Hood. And she'd say, come prancing around and say, and gay Robin. And he'd say, Mum, can my boys... Yes, but don't wake my babbykins up, And she had a face like... You know. And poor old Ernie took up... They cast him as Cinderella. Yeah, my other two mates, Pat McCarthy, just recently died. I picked him up there. The R&A. He was a good-looking bloke. The ugly sisters were better-looking than Cinderella. I was Buttons. We got there in the end. Didn't make any money. And Church of England club. It's they've moved the church down into Lawrence Crescent there, down there. But they use that. I think the Scouts bought it for direct quarters. But it was a church, actually. You could separate the two with these boards. And your church could be that end. And this hall where you had the little triple... They used to have dancing on Saturday night,
Well, I was
going to
ask that. Did you go to any dances when you were 16, 17,
18? Well, no, when I was 16. When I was just 14.
Now, what were the dances like? Dance hall dances as well,
No, I never went dancing. Well, I did later on. Down to Crickwood Pally, but when he first started, you're about 14, maybe not that much. It was sixpence to go in, No, fruitums to go in, a bottle of pop, that's it. And all the boys used to be wallflowers, couldn't do it, and the girls danced with each other. Until they played the last waltz. And it was a mad scramble, you know, and who's going taking you home tonight? And part of the reason the girls were shy. Anyway, that's how they started. But then later on you bring up to it, and the more you ask the girl, and you got better at it. But actually, I got to be very, very good at dancing. I had a mate of mine called Dickie Durham. He come from East Ham, bombed out the East Ham, and he went to live in Lawrence Crescent. And he was a solo drummer in the boys' brigade. So when he come up to Edgware and I was in the Sea Cadets, immediately come up the Sea Cadets and he took over the band. And I eventually got in a band as a drummer. I wanted to be a bugler, but I couldn't get five notes out of a bugle. So I wasn't no good at a thing, so I went to the kettle drum, but it was tenor drum eventually. And he had a cousin, and she was a married woman, and her husband was in the 8th Army. And we used to go round, you know, she lived in Churchill Road, Edgware. And we used to go round at tea. Actually, the old Mr. Uswick, he taught me to drink, because I was 16 when I had my first pint. Let me go on a bit. We used to go to the demolition up at Cannons Park to this Sunday night op up there. It was only top. It was a heavy demolition group, you know, where they used to they'd run a dance with a bit of funds. And all the kids used to go up. They used to have just a pianist and a solo sax and a drummer. It was a load of rubbish, really, but we enjoyed it. And it was in their place where the playing fields are. Cricket pavilion. We come out there of a night, Sunday night, and we've stopped by the leapfrog, and someone jumped on him, and he collapsed in a bloody heap. Well, we just thought nothing to it. And he went home, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know he was in hospital. And on a Friday, that was a Sunday, on a Friday, I'm coming out of home from work, someone said to me, "You heard about Dickie Durham?" I says, "No." He said, "He's dead." Oh, Christ almighty, my best friend. And I walked around in the bloody days, I did. I just didn't know what bloody hit me. And I never confided in anyone. I was just suffering, I just thought, my world got shattered, you know? And funny enough, I was walking down the road one day and Mrs. Uswick come over. She says, "Hello, Denny." She said, "When are you going to come round? Just because Dickie's died, it don't mean you've got to stop away." So I said, "Yeah, all right." So I went round there. And I used to take Renee, you know, she was a good dancer. She was 7 years older than me.
Renee's your sister?
No, she was the Dickie Durham's cousin.
Right, sorry.
With her husband in the Yake Army. And I said, scrounge around and get the stuff, razor blades, and send to her husband and cigarettes, whatever. There was nothing in it. But she taught me to dance, and I was quite good. And I said, go round to tea, pictures. I was like a son. And I've got to be honest, I had feelings for that woman, but I never let on about them. And somehow their cousins lived round the back of me, and it got wind that I was knocking around with a married woman. I was about 17. So my mother got hold of me. She says, "You better stop seeing that woman." I said, "I'm only friends. I treat you like a brother. They look after me." She said, "You better stay away. People are chopsing about you." So I thought, oh, well, that's it, I stood away. And I 17 then, right? I carried a banner, I kept away, got chewed up, joined the Navy, went all round the world. And there were times, if you see my wife, she was a little girl. If I could show you a picture, it was all in the pictures there, I've got them in there. You see, she's now a dead ringer, a little tiny, skinny woman, weighed about 7 stone. Well, that's my missus, that's what she weighs like. So I reckon I picked her, right. And then, I didn't have a car, but my mum still lived at Edgware. And I got this car, and I'm just going down.
This is post-war, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's keep it to the thing. So what about the Sea Scouts, Sea Cadets? What you haven't told us about them yet. What were you doing with them? When did you join them? What were you doing with the Sea Cadets?
About 15, I suppose. 14, 15.
And what did they offer? Where did you go to them?
Oh, we went up the London docks on an old boat up there. We went to the Thames, little ships up there. As I say, we played in the band, we went on marches.
Where was it based?
St. Olaf's is old, it's not there anymore. It's houses now. Just down the road from the police shop in Edgware.
And would you go a week?
I think it's once a week.
What was it? What training would you do on a night?
Well,
what activities?
We didn't do much, we used band training mostly. But when it was Warship Week, I don't know if you know that, during the war, National Savings, different towns used to have Warship Week. And there was a great band. And you'd be called on a big plane and parade, you know, for Warship Week. And we went down to Morden and Mitcham. And it appeared on the stage at the Golders Green Hippodrome, would you believe? And I always remember that, Harry Parry in his Radio Rhythm Club sextet and Doreen Villiers. She was his singer. And all these scruffy little 15-year-old kids were ogling her on that stage with all her stage mates. She was beautiful. She really was. And that Morden and Mitcham, as I say, I was a tenor drummer. Those drums of the Italian, with all the bloody bubbles. There's more show than bang, you know? And I'm walking down at Morden and Mitcham, bloody giving them a performance. And I wave my stick, and some kid right round here with the sticks. And he'd say, "Mamma, you hit me!" What funny. And I was down at the Hendon Central, and we were based at Edgware. And we were going to march home. But Phil Hawks, who used to play the bloody bass drum, he couldn't bloody stay. So they said, "Jake, go on. You have to play the bass drum home." I thought, "I'll never do that." Come up Colin Deep Lane, up that hill by the Burroughs, down Colin Deep Lane, all the way up the Edgware Road, banging all the time. Had this leopard skin coat on, this bloody great big bass drum. And they didn't stop playing. He used to do the old solo drum, and then the others repeat that, and they go on. Now and there, I'd have a bugle break. I was knackered by the time I got home. I was go once a week and then have a Saturday night do down there or something. Or go out.
How much seamanship training would there be?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
What would you do when you went down the docks with them?
Boat pulling. I always remember that. The boat, it was go down the London docks and there was all French letters floating on the top. All little rings. There was a factory there, whatever, coming out of the sewage, I really don't know. And this old paddle boat, it was... No, we didn't do a lot. We did knots and splices and stuff like that, but it did take a lot. It was more of a social club than anything else, really.
Were you particularly interested in the sea or the navy, or was it just something to do?
Well, I really did it because my mates joined. And as I say, my mother's father, I knew if I wanted to do anything, I wouldn't like to go in the Navy because my grandfather, he did 25 years in the Navy. And that served me a good stead. I thought it was because I served in the Sea Cadets. Because you get a choice.
Now, tell me about you. Did you volunteer or were you called up?
I was called up.
Now, when were you called up?
1943.
What, when you were...
I had my medical in the September, and I got my past 18, if they was called up early in the year, 44.
And what was the medical like? How strict was it?
In my case, I've always had a lazy eye. In fact, I had a cyst over my eye. I had it cured when I was about 9, Westminster Eye Hospital. Consequently, when I went up to give a medical, they didn't like the look of my eyes, so they sent me up to Harley Street. Anyway, I was to think it was 9-6, perfect one eye, and wonky eye in the next. But they still passed me for the Navy, but it led to problems because I couldn't fire a rifle from the right shoulder.
Now, how were you called up? What month were you called up? Was it January 44 then?
Something like that. Yeah, February, I can't remember the exact date.
And what happened when you were called up? What was the procedure?
Well, you get called up, you get your plan of state, and you travel to where you were going to go. King's Cross, whatever. Skegness, first time out. And a bit of experience, really.
Now, where were you to go then? Skegness?
Skegness, Royal Arthur, yeah. The old holiday camp.
What were your first impressions? You know, when you get there, you're a civilian, really.
Yeah,
aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
How did they take you in and sort you out?
And feed you, first of all. And then you get kitted out.
Now, what was it? What were you kitted out with? Do you remember what you got?
All your underwear. Oh, you have your first short arm inspection. That's a bit of a.
One thing at a time. Kitting out first. We'll come to the.
We had kit you out.
What did they give you then?
Well, two of everything. Shirts, two jumpers, two caps. No, they had white caps, didn't they? And they had blue ones. And overcoat. Two tunics. I think they give you a duck suit, I'm not quite sure. Yes, they did. Collars, socks, and two of everything. And
did it fit?
Oh yeah, reasonably. They got that all right, except for the duck suit, because they never wore them. Canvas suit, that was. The only time you wore them when you was bloody training was you swam 50 yards and kept yourself afloat for 2 minutes in the bows.
Now, when did you get this short arm inspection?
About a week after you got in.
Now, why was that? What was the problem with that?
Well, see if you got crabs. I've never done that before. In fact, the first time I went in a shower and everybody's naked, I've never done that before. Kids never did that in school.
What was a VD inspection like? You said it was quite a story.
No, it's not VD inspection. The short arm inspection, well, they're probably looking for VD and all, but that wasn't part of it. And you'd never been naked in front of anybody. People were prudes in those days. I mean, when you was a kid at school before the war, you never had shower baths after gym. You just bloody well get on with your, you never bloody did anything. You might go out in the winter, you've got a pair of shorts underneath your trousers instead of pants. You've got your vest on, you go out in that. Pair of plimsolls, that's your bloody gym kit. Girls were the same. Pair of bloody new knickers and gym soles and top bit. It was your only clothing, your underclothing, really. And so never anybody stripped off. And the first time I ever did it in a shower of blokes, I was most embarrassed. You know, you are.
Now, when you first...
I don't think I was just on my own.
When you first got there, did you have your hair cut?
Not really, no. No, it was all had short back and sides, only if you needed one, I'd tell you to get your hair cut.
What about the your accommodation? Tell me about the chalets. What were they like to live in?
Basic. Just bloody square bed, nothing in them. No, they had tannoys all round the ranks and piece it. But, and you used to sleep in four into a chalet. Or if they were a double one, you might have eight. And they had...
How did you fit four? I mean, they're pretty small. How did you fit four of you in there?
Well, I suppose there was four in there. I never knew twos for a chalet. Maybe they ordered them, I don't know. But I know there's about four in each chalet.
Now, you were there about 4 weeks. What would a typical day's training be like for you while you were there?
Well, they taught you to march.
How did you take to drill?
That's all right. Didn't mind that. You know, it was... They taught the basics... Stamming around in a bit. Didn't do any seamanship training as such.
Did you understand why you had to do drill? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
What was it for?
Discipline, mostly. Discipline. Discipline is everything in the Navy, isn't it? People shout at you, you do what you're told, you don't argue with it. Because you do it as a man, don't you? So drill is discipline. It's you moving in unison, together, as a group.
What other training would you do?
Well, there, it's about that. All you did after that, you saw this psychologist, and they tell you what you're going to be in the Navy.
Now, what were the psychologist tests like? I mean, what was going on there? Quite interesting,
I really don't know. We used to have a little written one, silly questions. Then she'd interview you.
Did you remember anything about it?
Not a lot. I remember I said to my mate Ernie Dimond, he joined the Merchant Navy when he was about 16, and he got torpedoed, came back over here, and he used to come home on leave, and he was a nappy rating, canteen assistant, and all the things, you know, get all your fag stuff and all your grub cheap. So when she said, what do you want to be? I said, a nappy rating. She said, you can't be one. I want to get in the rackets. So anyway, I said, I'll leave it to you then. I said, I don't want to be a stoker. So she says, no. She says, we put you through for radar. And I said, what's that? I didn't even know about it. And I just went with the flow.